This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Coming up at Cameron Indoor Stadium on Saturday night. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. It is the annual Who's Going to Win the League game, because almost always, and certainly Virginia has won their share of ACC titles in the regular season over the last several years, and I don't want to discount that program. But more often than not, North Carolina and Duke, wherever this game is played, the second one, has a lot to say about who wins the Atlantic Coast Conference regular season title. North Carolina can win it outright. Duke can grab a share. A lot riding on it. And they met 4 weeks ago in Chapel Hill, and it was, I thought, fairly one-sided, where North Carolina, the score probably didn't indicate how, I thought, comfortable UNC was in the game, 93-84. Brian Geisinger, everywhere, 24/7 Sports, Busby Podcast. He is our college basketball guru. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of this one, sir. Well, everybody's looking forward to this. So let me just ask you about the difference between Duke then and Duke now.
Well, I would say the offense has probably found a bit of a new gear the last couple of weeks. You've got Tyrese Proctor back. He's playing well. One of the things that is new and is less good is, you know, Caleb Foster is hurt. And he's one of, he's one of the probably five or six best rookies in the league and a top five or six player for Duke this year. And so not, potentially not having him is meaningful. I would also say just like finding a more optimized Mark Mitchell. I think sort of by early February when they last met, he was already kind of rounding a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think he's played so, so well. You can see the confidence. Like, he's been able to hit some standstill jumpers. Duke can use him as another guy to play make. They can use him as another screen setter. You're hitting his defense. And then I guess the other thing that's probably worth mentioning is Sean Stewart's taken on a much bigger role.
Yes.
And I don't know, what that will look like for him in this matchup. It can be kind of tough to figure, but he just had the best game of his career against NC State, career number of minutes. They've even dabbled some playing Filipowski, Stewart, and Mitchell together.
Yeah.
And some of these lineups are with TJ Power at like the three. Is Duke's probably playing with maybe a little bit more positional size and slightly fewer three guard setups. But I think Stewart, his athleticism, the above the rim component, his versatility defensively, and his hustle.
Yeah.
Duke has I kind of wonder if Stewart is sort of the next leader on the rise there. Just kind of given his commitment, his energy, and also his talent. Like, he's really, really, really interesting young player.
Brian Geisinger is joining us here. I'm glad you brought it up, because I wanted to dig into that just a little bit, and then I want to get to a couple of other things, and then Carolina. Stewart gives them an athlete who can guard inside. He tried his best against DJ Burns. I mean, he did as well as you could. He pulled the chair on him once.
I love that. He forced a couple turnovers in that game by just, like, again, he's this amazing athlete, but he was going into the bag of tricks and just, fronting the post and got some turnovers that way. He pulled the chair one time on Burns too.
Right.
And look, one-on-one, DJ's got, DJ's a very good low post player and has, a weight advantage on him. And Duke was committed to the let Burns beat us defense.
Right.
And by the way, it worked out, quite well for them. But so I think Stewart's impact everywhere else has been meaningful, and he played great against State the other night.
Where does he fit in matchups against Carolina? Because Carolina's a lot more dynamic than NC State is offensively.
Yeah, to say the least. Although, and I also thought Duke did a great job really limiting DJ Horn and really committing resources sort of in a different way, but similar to how UNC did the other week against DJ Horn and NC State too. I mean, we'll see. Like, when these two teams played a couple of weeks ago, or I guess a month ago, You saw Duke doubling the post a decent amount against Baycott. And he tried to help off of Elliott Cadeau. And actually, I thought had some success. You know, Cadeau is this really, really good young player, but he's not much of a shooter at this point. And so I thought UNC did a good job by turning Elliott Cadeau into a flare screener, like the way Duke would use Mark Mitchell, right? Mm-hmm. Or the way that NC State would use Greg Gantt last season. Well, if you're not going to guard that guy when he's 25 feet out, well, we're going to get that guy to start setting off-ball screens for R.J. Davis. And then when R.J. Davis comes off those screens, he's going to be open for Armando Baycott to kick it out from the post or skip it from the post. So who knows? Maybe you can use Stewart as somewhat of a matchup piece if you do feel like you've got a double.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. And that's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
RJ, you know, can the double teams come from Sean Stewart, or is he out there flying around, you know, trying to help you in those scramble situations on the backside of the play? So I'll be curious to see how that looks. And when UNC gets into lineups that don't have, you know, Harrison Ingram at the four, you know, they've got Jalen Withers out there.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you can even let Stewart, you know, roam around a little bit. I don't see him spending a ton of time on Baycott. But if Stewart does play in this game, you know, there's a chance he's going to be switched out onto RJ Davis. There's a chance for him to work as a helper. There's a chance for him to just sort of do a lot. And then obviously his work on the glass on both sides is pretty crucial for Duke in the minutes he plays. I mean, I could also see him playing, you know, 5 minutes in this game too, depending on sort of how things shake out.
Yeah, I kind of hope he won't.
I know, me too. I mean, I think his athleticism is super important for them. It's just his role at this point hasn't, like, stabilized yet. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I thought going into the state game, I was wondering if we were starting to see an emergence of Sean Stewart really ahead of Ryan Young as part of the rotation, especially with the Caleb Foster injury and what that means for Duke going forward. I think that level of athleticism, the offensive rebounding ability, because Duke has become last few games really good, excellent on the offensive glass. It's really how they've beaten soundly Virginia and NC State.
When Stewart is on the court, they've rebounded 45% of their missed shots this year, 45% offensive rebound rate with Sean Stewart on the court.
Okay.
Duke this season.
There you go.
Pretty good.
That's why Brian Geisinger is on this flipping show. All right. Let me get to we could spend all day talking about the different players and what their impact is. We know how good Jared McCain is. I thought he was Duke's best player in the game in Chapel Hill. But I want to get to Carolina because Harrison Ingram is such a difference maker in so many ways. And I think he's built for games like this. He's built for moments like this. Maybe he didn't even realize it when he was at Stanford for all those years. But he's coming off. I mean, he's played so well all year. He had a great game against Duke over in Chapel Hill. His thoughts on Harrison Ingram. There's so many silly questions I could ask, but I'll just leave the canvas blank for you on Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget or let's remind ourselves he was a part of the USA FIBA U19 team in 2021 that beat Victor Wembanyama in France in the title game. And
wow.
As seeing Wembanyama transition to the NBA, that's looking more and more impressive by the Americans and Kenneth Lofton, the national hero after that matchup. But no, I mean, Ingram has been a big-time player. He was just sort of, I wouldn't even say toiling away, because, like, Stanford hasn't, they've been, like, fine, and Jared Haas, right. I think, is a pretty good coach. And, you know, we've even seen Michael O'Connell come east and make an impact at NC State after playing with Ingram at Stanford. But, I mean, his size, his versatility, the 6'7", 200-whatever pounds who can – I mean, he's probably shot a little bit above his head this season, but right. he gets open looks playing off of RJ and Armando Baycott, and Hubert Davis has a lot of creative ways to help get him open. But a guy like that who could facilitate in the post or in the pick and roll, he can spot up on the wing, and he can just do like scavenge points too, you know, putbacks, transition, cuts, just a really, really, really versatile offensive player that you can either play off the ball or run the offense through him. And because he can scale up or down positionally, you know, you can play him at the three, play him at the four. There's just so many different ways you can use him. So yeah, he's perfect for games like this. He'll be huge for them come postseason time too.
You mentioned Elliot Cadeau earlier. Brian Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show at @BGeis_Bird. On the low, I thought he was one of Carolina's three best players because of just plays that were made by him that really impacted, either thwarted a Duke little bit of a rally or just created more separation, drives. He didn't really score a lot of points. He didn't have a lot of assists. I just thought he made big plays when they needed. And he's had a very good season in every way, except you could probably look at the stats and go, yeah, he's not that good, but he is. What are your thoughts on Cadeau as we are now at the end of his first regular season?
Yeah, I think he's a really awesome young player. And I kind of agree with you that his impact, was like, you had to watch the game to sort of, I think, get it, but seven free throw attempts is not nothing in a game that, like you said, UNC controlled it, but getting to the line seven times, was big in that game, considering how Duke was guarding him, you know, as we were sort of discussing, you know, they're playing off of him. They're you know, and all of a sudden UNC starts turning him into a screener. And I also liked on some of those possessions, there was at least one I'm thinking of when Bacot was posted, they were playing off of Cadeau. He skipped it to Cadeau on the left wing, where the ball got worked around to Cadeau. And instead of, he missed a couple of threes. I think he was in that, he missed all of his threes in this game, but instead of settling for another catch and shoot, he attacked the space. And he's got enough like north south burst, and he's such a creative passer. He's maybe the most creative passer in the entire ACC. Like, he's really good. And I liked him being aggressive and trying to chew up the space as opposed to just settling into you know, spot up threes, which he's not going to make. He's not going to make a ton of, you know, down the road. That's, you know, let's see next season what that looks like.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. New customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
You know, another year of player dev, you know, hopefully he comes back as a better shooter, but the passing is really, really special. The open floor handle, his ability to run. He runs the secondary break like a veteran. He allows RJ Davis to get off the ball and float around and hit shots. And RJ is such an incredible shooter off the catch. Cadeau just has sort of like cascading value all over the court. And I thought in a competitive game against a really good team and a rival in Duke, his ability to take on the kind of a weird role to set flare screens, it's probably like not what he envisioned coming to UNC, but like that's what they needed to like get the job done, right? You know, and salute to him for doing that. He created at least one open three for RJ Davis, and I'm thinking maybe more than that actually. So no, I thought Cadeau was key. He'll have to have a huge game for them tomorrow, but maybe it's tough to picture like what that role will look like, because my guess is Duke doesn't roll out the exact same game plan as 5 weeks ago.
No, I think Duke's a different team. But I'm sure, I think I remember from his from the, you know, quotes that I read when he reclassified that he was reclassifying to set flare screens at Carolina. I think that was exactly what he pointed to. He couldn't wait to do it.
I can't wait to see pin downs for Cormac Ryan. It's going to be sweet. Yeah.
Brian Geisinger. All right, real quick before we let you go. A matchup you are looking at, player on player, from your point of view, assuming we'll get it.
Yeah, I mean, all the matchups across the board are so juicy. And we'll see, like, but, you know, Duke switches a lot defensively, and even they'll even switch Kyle Filipowski out. So it's even hard to say sort of like Flip, Baycott, Davis, Roach, even if there are these like really sort of like juicy parallels. And we should also just like real quickly salute to Jeremy Roach. I mean, I guess tomorrow has a good chance of, or is likely the last game for him at home game at Duke, and what a career it's been. And a guy that should be all ACC, maybe not first team, but should be all ACC this year. So just wanted to give a salute to him. And but matchup wise, I think I'll be curious to see like what Mark Mitchell does in this game, both offensively, like how UNC guards him, how he attacks that concept, and just like where he can be impactful as a help defender. So I think sort of just like Mitchell's like two-way role in this game is the thing I'm probably most intrigued by. Obviously, like the Filipowski Baycott one is really appealing as well.
All right, finally, and we're not even going to get to the first team All-ACC. Roach is on my first team for what it's worth. Element you think will decide the outcome of this game?
I'm going to say 3-point shooting in this one, just like in terms of volume and like what those shots look like. Kind of think the team that is able to generate the best, you know, reliable looks from deep, what that's going to mean. That means they're touching the paint, you know, which also means they're getting to the line. But I'm just going to be looking at that as an indicator I'll be keeping an eye on. UNC got up a couple more threes than Duke in the last one. They made a few more. And just sort of like that to me feels like a barometer for how Duke is defending RJ Davis, or how RJ Davis is able to like shake free. Same on the flip side, Jared McCain, his shooting, such an indicator and a confidence booster for Duke. So I don't know. I think I'll be curious to see the team line on both sides, but sort of like drilling down to those two players specifically.
Brian Geisinger, you are the best, man. 24/7 Sports, BuzzBeat Podcast, everywhere. Follow him on Twitter at @BGeis_Bird. My man, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Take it easy.
He's the best. Look, we have one-timers coming up on the other side. Seriously, one-timers coming up on the other side. Q&A. I got to tell you a quick story about Brian Geisinger, whether it's next segment or the one after. I kid you not.
I'm excited.
Brian is like, he's got an advanced basketball brain.
Well, he is from the triad like myself.
Yes,
so
he is. Although he's a Wake fan, I can't figure that out.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.